Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, happy Monday to you. It's a victory reaction Monday here in the loop on Sports Radio 610 after the Texans get a 23-14 victory over the Tennessee Titans. Week 18. Regular season's over, y'all. And that means that we're headed off to the playoffs. You can gear up for the playoffs at Academy Sports and Outdoors, mind you. Thanks to our friends at Academy for getting us ready for this weekend with our new Ready to Roll playoff
shirts.
Pretty
sweet, aren't they? Look at them.
It does. It's pretty nice. It is pretty nice. Mm-hmm. And there's division championship hats as well. So you can get yours at your local Academy Sports and Outdoors before this weekend, where on the text line, they're like, the 281 says, NRG would explode if Tank Dell could find a way to crawl, limp, or roll out of the tunnel first on Saturday and lead the team on the field. Yeah, it'd be pretty loud in there.
That would be dope.
It would be dope.
Come out on that cart.
Ah, man.
With Toro.
Oh, yeah, okay. It sounded like he was clowning my wheelchair.
Not that cart.
Okay.
The good cart.
Yeah, I was like, don't clown Tank Dell. Well, that makes me a little scared.
Don't roll him out like Jimmy Carter.
Yeah, right? Rest in peace.
Or Jim Irsay.
Yeah,
that old.
Yeah. No, he's
like 65. He's like 3 or 4 years older than me.
I didn't know he was in that bad of shape.
Yeah.
Is he in his 60s?
He's in his 60s.
Are you sure?
Yeah. I know he's a little older than me, and he shouldn't be looking like that.
Yeah, I was like, Jim Irsay.
That was an interesting little machine he was 65. Rolling on, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I was like, yeah.
Hey, I will. That's gonna be John Lopez in a couple years.
Hell no. Well, I guess you never know.
Well, you know what?
It's not planned, to put it that way.
That's fair. All right, let's see what John Lopez has about that victory and other Texans things in the OG's passing thoughts.
Experience, wisdom, opinions, barbecue sauce. Our guy Lopez has it all and shares it with you.
I used to go into the clubhouse and I just.
It's time for the OG's passing thoughts.
Tell me a story, OG.
We shake our head every time we hear the last part.
I also haven't heard it in a few weeks, so it just. All right, okay.
It's got a great shelf life. First passing thought on what we just heard real quick. We're going to revisit it.
D'Amico Ryan's talking to the media.
We will dig in more on what D'Amico said, but this is just sort of, you know, stream of consciousness passing thoughts here. And two things stood out on D'Amico's availability here today, live on Sports Radio 610, kind of. Number one, he knows they have their hands full with the Chargers. Like, that is a squad.
Correct.
Man. That is a squad that maybe a lot of people haven't been around here, haven't been paying a lot of attention to, but he lined it all up. They turn the ball over. They've got great coverage. Derwin
James.
They
don't turn the ball over.
They don't turn the ball over.
Offensively, yeah.
You know, their edge rushers, their strength is edge rushing, which can maybe hurt some of your weaknesses.
Yeah, hello, Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa. I always got to remember which one. Nick play for the Niners.
And then their strength on offense is protecting your strength on defense.
Yes.
So that's one thing that really stood out. He knows they have their hands
great
full.
Great draft picks. Rashawn Slater, Joe Alt. Like, my goodness. Man, we are cooking on the edges, baby.
And then the other thing that stood out, He said it several different ways. He said, live in the moment, make the most of what's in front of us, laser focus on what matters right now. Nothing else matters. It's how you're playing right now. He said it several different ways. And what he's saying is, let's forget what happened. Let's forget the, you know, the vast majority of this season when we've been up and down. So I thought that was very, very telling. And we'll, as I mentioned, we'll dig in some more.
For sure. Yeah, no, and it feels like that's kind of the way you have to go about this, right? Like,
yeah.
Yes, you understand the, you know, the deficiencies that this team maybe exhibits in time to time. Like, you know this team at this point. You've gone through the season with them. But at the same time, you can't dwell on that, especially going into a game where neutral observers are viewing this as a three-point mm-hmm. or around a three-point underdog situation to a visiting team on your home turf. You can't afford to also bog yourself down with, like, your team constantly, like, being too focused on that. Hey, let's get out there and try and be the best versions of ourselves as we know at this point.
Forget what happened. Let's talk about today. And that's what he's doing. All right. Another passing thought here. You know how I feel about Amy Adams Strunk, you know, that woman.
Mm-hmm.
But this whole Oilers and decking out the stadium and the Oilers stuff, it's kind of sad now, isn't it?
No, it absolutely is. And I do appreciate that so many people in sports see it for what it is. And they're like, for real, y'all?
Yeah.
Especially because it would hit a little different if they did it the same way they did last year, right? Where they wore it in multiple games. Like, it was, this was clearly them trying to needle the Texans.
Last year and this year.
Well, yes, but I mean, at least they wore it in some other
they
games.
Wore it like, twice
I'm not trying to give
year.
Them, I'm not trying to give them any level of, I need to make that clear, right? My allegiance is alive with the city of Houston. I want that to be abundantly clear. However, at least you have some plausible deniability in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know what really got me was not just that they were wearing it, right? And I understand that this is all part and parcel of, you know, choosing your jersey, right? The end zones. But then along the sides of
that's what I'm saying, decking it out.
Where it says Oilers.
Yeah.
I'm like,
they put that in. It's
so
almost
much.
Identical to what used to be in the Astrodome.
I know. I hate it so much.
Yeah.
Hate it so
much. But the thing is, there was a time when we all would just kind of get mad and you know, just slam on, you know, on everything, you know, Tennessee Titans trying to be the. It's kind of pathetic now.
Yeah.
It's just sad.
I'm at a point, I'd rather them just go by the Tennessee Oilers, man. Like, just take the Houston out of it at this point, man.
Yeah.
Just go Tennessee Oilers.
They tried. They couldn't stomach it.
Yeah.
They tried. They couldn't stomach it, and that's why they came back around to Titans.
And while we're on this topic, he's not even playing anymore. He's retired, but somehow, some way, even though J.J. Watt is retired, he was kind of the star of the game. And I got a big kick out of, you know, the reaction to, CBS, you know, showed Titans and Texans highlights during the Titans. And, no, man, this was planned. This was a professional troll job by J.J. Watt. This was not a mistake. This was J.J. Watt stealing the show.
Time to go to New York for an update.
Guys, this must be a mistake, but I'm going to do it anyway. We've got a Houston Oilers fumble picked up by the Houston Texans and ran back for a touchdown. And yes, that does appear to be two times in a row that the Houston Oilers uniforms have been worn against the Houston Texans, and the Texans happen to be 2-0 while wearing them. Hmm, how about that?
Thank you, JJ, for that history lesson.
That's awesome.
Yeah, everybody's in on a bit.
Yes, except for some people who comment, like, awful announcing, and I want to say another big website, like, oh, hey, they went to Texans and Titans. No, man, this was planned. This was awesome. This was JJ trolling Amy Adams.
Yeah, but I think the thing for me was that, and I imagine the thing why those other people did not fully understand is, it'd be one thing if JJ just said it in passing, whatever. Like, they had the
Houston. He went, Houston.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
do JJ usually do those? Because usually it's like Nate Burleson.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie.
It's usually like Nate Burleson or somebody like that.
Yeah, that is true. So like, yeah, allowing JJ to do it. And then also, like, specifically having that, it takes like the producers and people, there's more people involved.
Yes, yes.
TV is so many moving parts, and for all those people to be like, we're gonna do this for the bit of trolling the Titans,
and they gotta make it like it was a mistake. They
can't just say
we doing this.
He even said it. Oh, this may be a mistake.
Yeah,
but I'm gonna do it anyway.
Yeah, that'd be like a funny mistake.
Shout out to JJ. How do you not love that guy? Another passing thought here. He was only out there for just a bit, but it got clear to me, Aziz Alshaier is going to be a man possessed for however long the Texans are in there. He came in, he made some, I think he was in on the very first tackle of the game.
Yes.
Yeah. And just like, Alshaier, put a pin in that. We haven't really gotten the breath of breath with a D, the breath of what this linebacker core can look like, you know, with Christian Harris and Toa Toa and Alshire. I think Alshire is going to ball.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. In fact, it was interesting seeing there was a, you know, some a lot of base defense in that game where you only got a few moments of like Miles Bryant coming in that that nickel situation. Mm-hmm. And there's been people clamoring for it, especially with Christian Harris being back, that, you know, the versatility that he has. I think that you were given a little bit of a good reason to like have some expectation there, because again, being just seeing those two guys back together, mm-hmm. Toa Toa and Azeez, it restored the feeling a little bit. Again, against a Titans team that's not great, but seeing those guys back out there, putting Christian Harris along with that, man, hey, let's see what this defense can do with the full complement.
Another one for you guys here, passing thought. Laremy Tunsil's in playoff form, isn't he?
That was, yeah, man. I am going to very much hold on to, because you're in a place where you need to have, at least I personally need to have some hope going into the playoff game, right? Like, you saw the first drive and everything going well there. And, you know, the second half of the season, he had kind of nullified those things. I am willing to get myself to believe, whether I am, you know, lying to myself or whatever. If it's a lie, I got to fight on that lie. Word to the wire and Slim Charles, that what Ross Tucker brought up on the broadcast is a large part, if not entirety, what was happening there, which is you bring in the backup quarterback, the cadence is a little different, and that throws him off his schedule. Because then he had a couple of instances where he was just kind of leaning before the snap actually gets called, and that draws some pre-snap penalties. It still made him the leader in penalties on the year. I think it was like his 12th or 13th false start penalty. So, like, it's clearly an issue for him as an individual. But for the most part, we hadn't seen him until you have a change in quarterback. And I'm going to lean on the idea, lean and hope, that that is the what ultimately brought this on, as opposed to just some falling off of the wagon of being on his P's and Q's there.
Yeah, I'm kind of rolling with that too, man, because I think that's what made Laremy Tunsil so good, that he know, once he know how to time that cadence or that snap, like, he's damn near unstoppable.
Yeah.
I think the issue is when he don't time it right, that's when you get the false starts. So I think he just got so comfortable with C.J. Stroud and just that timing. I think that just that might threw him off.
That might be part of it, but there were 10 other guys with a new quarterback as well.
But they ain't good as Tunsil.
They're not as good as Tunsil. Another passing thought for you. I love the way D'Amico played this, and we talked about how it couldn't have gone any more perfect for the offense. You know, boom, 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 touchdown. Okay, have a seat. Except for one thing.
Okay.
And that is, why did Nico Collins go back out there? Like, he is, like, if anything happened to Nico Collins, we would be going ballistic. He went out for what, two or three more series.
Yes.
Sit everybody. Sit CJ. You can't sit everybody, but sit your stars. CJ went down. Joe Mix sat down. Joe Mixon sat down. Dude, you're trying to find more receivers right now. Why are you putting Nico Collins back out there?
I don't know, but I enjoyed seeing it. Like, that's a,
yeah. Oh yeah.
You got away with it. No harm, no foul. I was just like, all right, it's cool, man. I was okay with that. Now, the one thing about it, and I talked about this, I would have liked to see even more Deontay Johnson, but that is more of a selfish thing. And earlier on, because, I mean, he displayed why you're excited for him. Like, the routes were crisp, right? When he had the opportunities, he produced. I just would have hoped to see that more, especially with CJ. But, I mean, D'Amico assures us that he likes what he's seen in practice from him, that he's been able to, you know, really grasp onto everything that they asked of him.
Yeah.
And he said it specifically that they are going to feed him more as they go along and see what he can handle for him. So, yeah, I mean, all of those things helped assure it. Wide receiver wise, but yes, I understand what you're talking about with Nico Collins, I was happy to see it, man. Go ahead and let Nico cook.
All right, so
and they got the ball to him like in different ways. Yeah, him and Deontay, they got a bubble screen to Deontay Johnson, and I was like, okay, I get it. Our general,
I wanted to see. I don't know about Nico all those extra series,
right? As a team, as a fan base and everything, I'm sure that everybody's looking at that like, oh, okay, the possibility of more screens, that doesn't go well. But if you have an opportunity to get the ball to your playmakers in space, like, it still feels right academically.
Yeah.
And Deontay Johnson provides possibly the skill set to help make that work too.
It didn't count, but we can all say this together. The ball finds Kalen Bullock. Or Bullock. What was that? What was that about?
Yeah, it seems like
what was that all about?
It seems like there's been a changing, maybe not a changing, a confirmation of the correct way to pronounce his name, and so it goes from being that Bullock that I think we've all assumed that it was to what is it? You remember Reggie Bullock?
Yeah.
That type of pronunciation. So shout out to them getting that change, but I wish we had known earlier.
Somebody said it earlier this season. I want to say
Bullock.
I wasn't sure what it.
We gotta ask him.
Yeah, no, you gotta ask him. Mm-hmm. He probably don't even care at this point,
but that guy, you know, of all the returning players, we still have a lot of meat on the bone this year, but of all the returning players, especially young ones next year, boy, I'm looking forward to what he might be able to become, because he's just been outstanding.
High point in the football again.
Man.
And that'll be interesting to see how that factors in this game, as you mentioned, and as D'Amico obviously said, Justin Herbert has not been putting that ball up there for defenders to go and get. However, it's nice to have somebody back there that you know is a threat that possibly puts that thought into the mind of the opposing quarterback and maybe change the way that they play in some way.
This passing thought is more of a question for you and Figgy. What do you expect of Damian Pierce this weekend?
Some good returns.
Goes back to what he was.
Yeah.
The returns. Maybe a couple of carries.
I don't think they like splitting carries, or I don't think he's going to get, oh, let's give him 10 carries this game. Nah, I don't think so.
That was 2023 Damian Pierce.
Man, he hit that hole really well. The 92-yard touchdown.
Or 2022, whatever it was. Yeah.
Was absolutely gorgeous. Yeah. And he had to make a little bit of move. He was a little bit of wiggle. That wasn't like a running straight
just
into the hole.
Hard, yeah.
He was running hard, but he saw that this gap was a little bit off to the left. Made a slight adjustment just then. I'm not going to pretend like he made a huge bounce in the way that we've seen Joe Mixon
found
do,
room,
but he found the gap and he hit it hard, right? Like that is the expectation of him, and that gave me a little hope that okay, he might be seeing the line a little bit better, as the line also played better in this game blocking wise. But yeah, they gave him an actual seam to hit, but it felt like, all right, you're seeing it better, and that was really the big issue with Damian Pierce. It's not that he can't run the football, but you got to read what's happening there so that you're not taking all of that physical, run right into the back of a lineman, you're taking that into a speed and maybe hitting a defender or hitting open space and seeing grass.
This one is similar to the Damian Pierce one, but I don't know if Derek Barnett's play is how much it's going to affect the rotation next week, but he made some money. He made some money this year, and specifically yesterday. He's an unrestricted free agent after this season. Derek Barnett balled out. Balled out yesterday, big time. And that's not even just because of the touchdown, but he looked really good.
Yeah, man, the defensive line in general has been one of the bright spots for Nick Caserio. There's just been basically all the acquisitions have been really helpful, very good. Even someone like Tommy Togiai has been really good coming up off the practice squad and giving you needed time after, Foley Fatukasi's dealt with injuries of late. He's come in. He's been, obviously, Settle's been really good. I was even talking to you earlier about how Mario Edwards started the season on a tear, and he even has kind of filtered back into, deeper in the depth chart. But, man, it's just been a really well orchestrated, personnel-wise for the defensive line, and they've hit on all those. I mean, even Jerry Hughes. So shout out to Caserio and the defense, obviously all the parties involved, right, the coaches, Burks, and of course D'Amico Ryans, because that has been a beautiful part of this team, and it's going to be fun seeing that against, as you mentioned, a solid offensive line in the in the Chargers on Saturday. There you go, the OG's passing thoughts after a 23-14 victory versus the Tennessee Titans. Technically didn't mean a lot, did not have a lot of stakes, but at the same time, you got to see the Texans play a better brand of football, which was according to D'Amico Ryans, the whole objective there, and we'll see how much that impacts the game going forward into the wild card game this weekend. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's do some lunchtime confessions.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions on Sports Radio 610.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
You know, we really haven't talked about this aspect of yesterday's game a whole lot, but I got to admit, I didn't like it. You know, the Titans losing. The Titans drafting Travis Hunter with the number one overall pick, now that they have the number one overall pick, would scare me a lot more than them drafting any quarterback. And even if they, and what if they do draft a quarterback and it's whomever, Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders, I wasn't crazy about it, man. I wasn't crazy about it. They're going to have their pick of the litter.
Yeah, I'm not. Actually, I go the entire opposite way. Like, I'm not that worried about them having the number one overall pick. It's, you know, just kind of starting to look at some of the offseason type things, especially amongst draft analysts and such. One of the things you get a strong grasp of is that this is not going to be a top-heavy NFL draft this year. As we kind of already know that there's not, like, a lot of high-end quarterbacks, but I think there's, like, one offensive tackle. There's, like, probably one running back. There's a few wide receivers, don't get me wrong. And Travis Hunter, obviously, top.
There's Travis Hunter.
But... I none of those really scare me in a particular way, especially when you talk about the way that this Tennessee Titans team has been. And plus the fact that, you know, they need quarterback play. So, like, all right, what's the worst case scenario, right? They draft Travis Hunter, who has an opportunity to play in both ways. That is a problem, right? He could be there for a while. And then what? They sign Sam Darnold?
I don't know. All I'm saying, I'd rather they not have the number one overall pick and a shot at maybe somebody like that who could be. I mean, you never know. But all signs are Travis Hunter is going to be something special.
Sure,
you know
that I agree with. You think Deion? You think Deion good with him playing in Nashville?
If he's the number one overall pick, I think he will be. You know, who knows what Deion really is going to end up doing? But I think he would be.
I don't either. I have no idea. But I was just like, that adds another potential wrinkle in these things. I'm not certain about the Titans being in. And somebody said just don't want them to trade and have an opportunity to trade back and get more things. That's going to be there.
Yeah,
for
that's
my,
there too
as well.
These are my confessions.
Oh, I thought you had something.
I actually did, man. You know, I'm going to go second on this one.
Oh, okay. My bad.
I was kind of rooting for the Titans to win this after the first series, man. After the Texans did their first series and they sat everybody down, I went into full-blown preseason mode. Like, all right, this game don't matter. And I was praying to God that Tennessee beat the Texans, man, because, first of all, it didn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't going to change anything. And we saw what we saw for that first series. But I'm like, man, I don't want them to get the first overall pick. Not because I was scared or anything like that. I was just petty. I'm like, y'all want to be petty? I'm going to be petty.
Yeah.
I would have, man. I mean, I don't know if it.
They're going to be talked about.
Because clearly they was trying to lose that game.
Yes.
But, I wanted them to not get that first overall pick just because I wanted to be petty.
Yeah,
man.
That's fine.
I can respect that, though. Mm-hmm. I can absolutely respect that.
I don't.
All right. And I recognize that this can sound cold. And I confess, I understand that. But I don't rock with the think of the children type response to Black Monday. Right. I understand there's dudes that are losing their job. I don't take that lightly.
Mm-hmm.
However, I know that D'Amico Ryans was talking about this in his press availability. Hey, man, that is what the money is for, to quote the AMC show, the Mad Men. Hey. I understand it, right? There are people that are also attached to that person who's getting fired that might have to move and have to change their lives or whatever. That person is going to be well compensated for one. And that's not to say everything, man. As somebody who is, I think I went to three different middle schools, right? I've done a little bit of moving in my life. I understand the ways in which that can be tough. That is not inherently the fault of that the employer firing that person. That was kind of incumbent with being a football coach.
Sure.
Like, football is a very transient, football coach is a very transient job.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you are one of a very small, a select group of people, you're going to be doing some moving. I'm not going to pretend like that's because, everybody is waiting on this dude to get fired. No, man, that's kind of the nature of the game.
You sign up for it.
And I'm not trying to do the, you knew what you got. But in a way, like, that's part of that was something that came with it. And that is a sacrifice that we recognize that coaches, families, and probably other families in sports, right, are having to deal with. I acknowledge that. But that's not going to make me feel bad about seeing, you know, the way that the chips fall after a season. When, I mean, especially for organizations, like, these things matter in the way that they go about things, whether they keep coaches that they shouldn't, or, you know, sign up coaches that they should, right? I miss me on the think of the children response.
I'm with you, and I feel like coaches all over the NFL, assistant coaches especially, are waiting for someone to get fired. So they can maybe get another job.
Yeah. Like that's I think that's part of the industry too, man. Mm-hmm. We in that same industry where if one of us lose our job or get fired or something like that, a lot of people don't think, hey, that guy have a family. People be like, yeah, that way we get a new show.
Yeah.
Like, they don't really think about it like that either, but that's
the way it goes. It's sad, but it's the way it goes.
Yeah, and on top of that, our family knows the industry we are in, too, mm-hmm. where you might pick up and move to a small town for a job, mm-hmm. or that job might not work out, so you move to another town. So it's kind of like being in the Army. I want to say, not technically being in the Army or in the military, but just the moving around constantly.
Sure,
and you could just up and move out of nowhere.
And I respect, there's not like a pseudo holiday built around any of our jobs mm-hmm. in the same way that like Black Monday exists. So I'm not trying to be entirely callous. But yeah, it's going to be hard pressed to make it land with me that like, hey guys, we really need to be more somber about this. No, we don't.
Yeah. It's way early. There's a lot of fish to fry before we get there. But now that we know the 2025 opponents of the Houston Texans, feeling pretty good about next year. I'm feeling pretty good about next year already. At home, you really don't have any scary opponents, so you should be able to make hay at home. The only real one would be Buffalo at home. But other than that, outside the division, you got the Broncos, Cardinals, Niners, and Bucks. I can live with that. Now, the road's a different story with the Chiefs and Ravens and Chargers and who knows what the Rams and the Seahawks. But those are the opponents for the Texans. The road, you should have the tougher games on the road. You would want the tougher games on the road.
I guess so. Yeah, I could see that. No, I mean, mm-hmm. it's going to be a first place schedule again, man. Like, that's that is what it is. And I guess I saw someone also saluting that on the text line. Shout out to the 10-7, you know, record in a first place schedule. I think for us, or for me, at least, it's the way that they got there felt like they could have squeezed more out of it. But no, there's still something to be said for doing that well. And hopefully as development continues to happen, you are in a place where you can view it that way, where it's like, hey, it doesn't really matter who you're facing off against. You have a good chance no matter what day it is or where you're playing. So, yeah, no, I feel you on that. These are my confessions. Are you still going second?
Yeah, I could go second. So I was off for the last 2 weeks, so it was technically like 14 days I was off of work coming back from last year. I don't think I could do that again, man. Like,
really?
I was off 2 weeks. I didn't travel anywhere. I pretty much stayed home the whole time. I don't know if I could do that again, man. And not that I didn't enjoy the time off, because I enjoyed doing nothing, but I kind of got into a mode where I got out of my hookup.
Yeah.
Where I'm staying up way late. I'm waking up super late. And I was nervous about coming back to work because I felt like I was going to be in a little funk where I got to get myself back together. So I don't know if I could take off 2 weeks without doing anything. Now, if it was like a trip or something, that's a little different. But I think I got way too comfortable just being at home doing nothing.
But you did you got a lot of stuff done at the new house.
Yeah, I got some stuff done. Yeah. But for the most part, it was like staying up late, watching TV, playing the video game.
Like,
I was
you're just, in college.
Yeah, yeah. It was like I was like a high schooler or something.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could do that again. Maybe I just do maybe a week.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but how you feeling today? Because you're like, you thought it would throw you off your game. How you feeling today?
I'm feeling cool. I'm no big mistakes or nothing back here. Yeah. But I am kind of behind a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I just got to get back in the groove of my normal Monday through Friday thing.
I think you're good. I think you're all right.
I didn't notice anything. I mean, I noticed you were gone.
These are my confessions. Yesterday, the Golden Globes were on.
Oh, baby.
Mm. Oh, well, I didn't expect that response.
No, my old baby is about, like a year ago, Figgy, this is a kind of a confession within your confession. I barely knew who Nikki Glaser was.
You love some Nikki Glaser,
and
man.
Then she did, and then she did the Tom Brady roast, and yesterday she absolutely killed it.
I didn't get to pay enough attention to it because I had that on with the Rockets game,
maniac.
And it was I will admit, like I say,
was
that
the sound on all of them.
Yes, it was tougher in this instance because usually there's a hierarchy, so usually it works easier. I have a progression. You go 1 to 2 to 2 to 3, right? Yeah. I was trying to actively watch all the things at the same time. It was more difficult. But the actual confession was, I realized I have not watched nearly as much stuff as I typically do. Like, movies, and it feels like there just haven't been that many movies out. But you watch the Golden Globes or, like, you know, anywhere, as we're heading into award season, I'm like, hey, some of these look like they might be good and I need to go back and watch them. I just ain't watched them. Even TV shows.
That happens to me every year now. Yeah.
Even TV shows. Like Shogun had a whole bunch of awards and some of the stuff. Like I was like, oh, I have not watched any Shrinking on Apple TV.
I watched that religiously. It's awesome.
Okay. Like there was a whole bunch of stuff.
Awesome. I'm all caught up.
I need to go back. I need to go back and watch somehow. But also I'm like, where's the time? And maybe we get into the off season with Texas eventually.
Did Hacks win anything?
Hacks won a decent amount of stuff, for sure.
Shrinking and Hacks are the two that I'm on right now. They're both really good. Really, really good. Highly recommend Shrinking. Highly recommend Hacks.
Yeah, I'm like, when am I going to find the time? Because now I want to go and watch these things now that we're coming up on award season.
Mm-hmm.
I have not. I have no groundwork. I at least usually I'm like, oh, I've seen a few things and I can add in and fill in the gaps. Nah, bro, I'm working from scratch and I don't like this at all.
That happens to me all the time.
Yeah.
All right, so this is the pettiness in me coming out. And I don't care. So we all heard, they talked a lot about, well, this guy's got this incentive in the Texans game. This incentive and this incentive. I got to the point where I was hoping the Texans defense would just lay down so Tony Pollard could get that $250,000 and get into Amy Adams Strunk's pocket a little more. Because he was so okay. Close. He was like 17, did he end up like 17, 19 yards away, I think. But they kept saying, Pollard, you know, he needs this many more yards. Pollard's got that 250,000. I was like, just let him have it. You're going to win the game. You know, it's a lock at this point. Just let him have it so Amy Adams has to write another $250,000 check.
That would violate the swarm mentality,
yeah,
Lopez.
Yeah, but that was me. That's why they call this confessions.
Lopez, we got a swarm.
Get into her pocket.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, very good. I appreciate the petty, especially when it comes to you and...
Yeah, that woman.
Mm-hmm, that's right. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Somebody said, I feel you, Figgy. 2 weeks off of vacation is hard. Spending more money, getting bored, split the time. It'll make the year go better. All right, so yeah.
Yeah, all I need is a week.
Okay.
Just right. To chill at home, do nothing.
Noted.
My problem is I take 2 weeks off and I forget how to do my job.
Yeah, no question. No yeah. doubt.
That's what I was worried about.
Yeah, but you're still here doing the job, making it work. All right, coming up next, let's talk about the Rockets. We talked about the fact that they were able to keep the Lakers at bay, but they lost a starter, Jabari Smith Jr. Just how valuable is Jabari? We'll talk about that next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Mokarum Injury Lawyers Studios, here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, happy Monday to you. It's a Victory Reaction Monday as the Texans got a 23-14 victory over the Titans. But then also, I guess we could also make it a Victory Reaction Monday in this way. The Rockets got a victory in their final game of a 5-game homestand against the visiting Los Angeles Lakers. But the big news, at least for me personally, was that before that game, you got news that, or actually not before that game, it was on Friday.
It was on Friday.
You got the news that Jabari Smith Jr., was it the third overall pick in 2022? Had a broken hand, and he'll be out for 4 to 8 weeks.
At practice.
Yeah.
It was weird.
Yeah,
but, I mean, it happens. You fall, I mean, whatever, you know.
Yeah, I didn't find any real clarity on
how.
What actually happened as to how, but I mean, I guess that's irrelevant when it comes down to the team. So, Jabari Smith Jr., who has been a starter for this team, what I felt to be a very valuable guy, is now out for a couple of months. Like, just how valuable is he to this team, and what does that mean over the next couple of months? Because I was hanging out with some friends, and so a friend of a friend asked me, because he knows, you know, obviously talk about sports and such, and he was like, what do you think about Jabari Smith Jr.? I mean, you know how when people ask you a question,
they have an idea of what they think.
They want to get to what they think. Yeah. Eventually he was like, yeah, I don't think he's all that good. And I was like, nah, man, I think that he's a very valuable, vital part. Like, he, you know, kind of ends up being the Swiss Army knife. He brings a level of shooting to your starting lineup that's necessary, you know, rebounding. He guards centers a lot of times. And then, I mean, you get this game against the Lakers, the first time that Amen Thompson kind of fills in as a starter, and it looks really good. And not to say that you take this one game and extrapolate it too far, but I do wonder, like, how valuable do you feel Jabari Smith Jr. is to this team, especially as you're trying to find who are the guys that are absolute musts in the foundation pieces of this team?
Well, it's funny you put it that way. Absolute musts. Would you say he's an absolute must on this team? Because I think he's very, very valuable. I think his role is absolutely important, and he's proved that. Is he a must? Is he one of those guys on this roster? I think what they are is they're capable of playing well without him. And you say don't extrapolate too much out of Amen Thompson and some of the other things.
Well, out of just the one game. Yeah, Amen Thompson himself. Yeah. No, we can extrapolate the world out of that dude.
A lot out of that.
Is anybody else not sold? Like, is there anybody who is not sold on Amen Thompson at this point? Mm-hmm. Like, in any situation, whether he comes in and has to be somewhat of a ball handler, he can show you a level of success. A guard slash wing. And then when he has to play kind of like a forward, like in this instance, he delivers. He gives you rebound and gives you defense. I mean, he was picking up LeBron James in this game yesterday. Yeah, Amen Thompson is set, but like I think that might not be the metric that you use to.
It's not like replacing one with the other, but you're replacing minutes. You're sort of finding a way to get around it, so to speak, with the injury, and that's a significant injury, 4 to 8 weeks. But you're able to sort of survive around him. I think they have players that can fill that role with Amen Thompson on the floor, fill the Jabari Smith role. So I think that's where he's maybe not a must, but I think he's incredibly valuable to this team and has proved it.
Yeah, and one of the ways in which I've frequently viewed him as being very valuable, the 713 hits on the text line, is the ability to guard centers. It's one of the reasons why I was talking about a little bit is, hey, I kind of like to see him in more of those backup center minutes. And shout out to Steven Adams, like showing that when he feels good again, one, he can still dunk like that, which, hey, did not realize that was the case. But he also gives you some of that, although there was a level of driving past him at times where, I mean, I think it's to be expected with Steven Adams. But, man, Anthony Davis had 30 points, and I don't think that's...
Well, he was just on fire.
But that's what Anthony Davis has been of late since he found himself to like not be injured all the time over the last like couple of seasons. But he is one of the proofs that, hey, man, when it comes to a solid center that has that ability, that's where Jabari Smith definitely shines. But one of the things that got me thinking about this in a different way, because, again, I told you, my natural inclination is like that versatility that he brings that allows you to do those things. Also, being a guy who can be a stretch, while he's a four, he can stretch the floor a little bit. I watching that game, Amen Thompson took a couple of corner threes that I liked, but, he's not knocking those down at a high clip. That's not his bag, or at least isn't in it. Yeah, Jabari has that where he can step into that corner and knock down some shots and draw some of the attention away. But I was looking at, advanced stats are not the end-all be-all by any means, but I was just kind of doing a dive into some advanced stats to see what happened. And I was kind of, I don't know if shocked is the right word, but I kind of was. I was looking at different like value stats, like VORP, value over replacement player. VORP. Yep.
Who? Figure you all about that VORP?
VORP, baby. Value over replacement player. It's like the basketball equivalent of war, if that helps you at all. And looking at it, I was like, hey, man, Jabari is right around the likes of like Bobby Portis, Dante DiVincenzo, DeAndre Hunter, that kind of place when it comes down to a 0.4 value over replacement player, which, I mean, is still above a replacement player, but not by a ton.
Yeah.
And I was like, is that where he is? Like, is he just kind of a solid role player and that's it? Because I know, like, again, that metric is not going to tell you everything. But for some reason in my head, I've gotten a feeling where he feels more important than that. But I'm trying to level that out, especially, again, as you're trying to figure out what's important. Like, and maybe the better way of asking this is eventually when you do get to a place when you need to make moves or when you decide or if you decide to make moves for bigger players, is he one that you would kind of keep off limits? Because you're coming, again, from a top three pick a couple years back.
Yeah, I don't know if you would. You know, back to that point of is he a must in this roster? And that's not to downplay his role. You just laid it out pretty good. I'm also curious how Cam Whitmore fits in all this.
Right.
Because
and Tari Eason.
And Tari Eason. Because Whitmore clearly is not happy with his role. We found that out last week. But he's got that versatility as well to be able to kind of slide around.
Not with the same size.
Not the same size, but he can go to the four. He can do a bunch of different things. So how does that fit in and what does it mean for him and his prospects here?
Yeah. I'm really interested to see how this plays out over the next month or two. Again, 4 to 8 weeks was the timeline put off of that broken hand, and that's a question that I'm kind of interested in learning. I hate that you have to learn it in this way, just how valuable Jabari Smith is. But like that, seeing that advanced metric, there was another one. I think it was like on off numbers, which again, I don't know how much to rate that because as a starter, that's the on numbers. And then when he comes off, you're bringing on Amen and Tari and those guys. We know the energy that they bring. Like, what does that say about, does that say a lot about Jabari? Or does that say more about Amen and what he brings off the bench? Right. I don't know, but I'm interested to see what that means going forward. But yeah, I thought the big thing was that like some of the versatility that he has, particularly at guarding centers, is the things that I thought of, but I want to get a better feel for that. Another thing that's happening Rockets-wise, sorry, you're about to say something.
No, go ahead.
Reed Sheppard.
That's what I was going
to
say.
Yeah, Reed Sheppard now going to Rio Grande Valley to the Vipers, the G League affiliate of the Rockets. And I saw that earlier today and I was like, finally.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was not able to find any time, even in this time where you had some guys missing time. Amen, due to suspension. Tari, as he's continued to miss time with injury. And then now you have Jabari, and he hasn't been able to get on the floor. I'm like, he needs to get time. And so he's going to get time at the G League level. You like this move, right?
I love this move, and I also think, you know, it showcases him, too. I mean, nobody wants to see him get traded as highly regarded as he was. He was, at one point earlier in the year, the favorite to win Rookie of the Year.
Figgy, are you hearing this like I'm hearing? It sounds like he wants to get Reed up out the paint already.
I said the exact opposite.
I don't know. It sounds like he wants to trade Reed.
It sounds like he should be some trade bait.
But if someone is interested, if someone is interested in...
Because if you don't want to break up this core,
yes,
like that's going to be somebody you have to trade.
That's where I am.
That's the young player right there.
Well, that's where I am, Figgy. You don't want to see it. You know, you think there's still a lot there. But if someone's interested... He's going to be showcased now, at least at the G League level, and people can maybe get a better bead on what they want, what they're looking at.
Yeah, I at the very least, like he needs development,
and
he needs an opportunity and as a shooter.
He needs
time to play.
You really can't lose if you're Reed Sheppard. You're going to get minutes, and you may ultimately, if someone is interested in you, you're going to get acquired. You know, you're going to be able to have another start there.
This is an interesting text that just came in on the Jabari Smith Jr. front. Do you agree with this as someone who's like seen these guys play, watched basketball for a long time from the 281? Jabari can grow them into being Otis Thorpe.
Ooh, Otis was probably bigger, you know, stronger on the inside and different game.
Yeah.
You know, totally different game. And do you want him to be that also? Do you want him to be more of a muscle in a rebounder, not enforcer, like in the bad
like
connotation,
a goon way. Charles Oakley.
Not like that, but a guy that can, you know he's in there, you know he's going to have elbows out, and you got to adjust accordingly.
But that's one of the things that I think also usually helps the rebounding is that obviously Amen Thompson is huge in this. I mean, there was a fantastic piece in the Chronicle that just got put out today about various people speaking to Amen's brilliance. LeBron James was gushing with praise for Amen yesterday. So him crashing the glass is usually great. But also Jabari, like adding that second big body in the paint when shots go up, has been a big part of why you've had the offensive rebound percentage that you had in order to help you find your path to offense in the ways that they have, right? It's been a lot of offensive rebounds and second chance points. Some of that has been helped by Jabari Smith Jr. as well. But yeah, I'm very intrigued in some ways. A long way of saying I'm intrigued to see what this team looks like without him. And again, I would love to rather just see the team play with him. But even with this injury, I think it provides an opportunity to get a better feel for some of these other guys. Unfortunately, with one person's misfortune, Cam Whitmore some more minutes as well. See if you can kind of manage that situation better and just get a better feel of what he is.
Mm-hmm.
And then... what was nice is just more Amen Thompson as a starter.
Yeah.
Which I know people have been clamoring for.
And you know, boy, it's going to be interesting to see how they play it. Now, he's going to be a starter for a while, but how they play it long term. And 713 saying, we missed him when we needed someone to guard AD. Well, that's absolutely true.
100%.
That is absolutely true.
All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Let's get back to these Texans. We know who your matchup is, like Los Angeles Chargers. Are you like this? Or would you have preferred the other matchup? Let's talk a little bit more about that next.